Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
KO says NO to Sami Zayn. I am Luke Owen, DAD. This is Chopper Piquinella. Welcome to the special Raw review episode. It's not that special. Of the WrestleTalk.
What's special about it?
I panicked. I just panicked. I thought I'd better say a word.
It's special because it's the regular lineup that we're supposed to have.
It's special because we didn't get to do it last week. Welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast review of Monday Night Raw here on the WrestleTalk podcast channel. Please do press the subscribe button if this is your first time here and you're enjoying this content, and the thumbs up button. Thank you so much to all of the brand new subscribers we've had come on board recently from our 85K update. It's a channel update video that we did.
Yep.
Because we are on our way to 85K. And thank you to everyone who tuned in to Worst Match Ever yesterday. The debut episode of Worst Match Ever.
Been so looking forward to that going live. As soon as we recorded, I was like, can't wait till that's live.
Yeah.
Great.
Particularly because as well, like we sort of fast tracked that as well.
Yeah,
like,
we did.
I was
recording,
I said to producer Adam, I was like, get that out on Monday. I want the first episode out on Monday. And then every Monday after that.
Get it on my desk, stat.
But anyway, so thank you so much. If you don't know what we're talking about, maybe we'll have a little preview clip of it after the Ultra Chats, because we've got the intro for it anyway in the back
end.
That's
good. Nice.
But anyway, Pete, let's talk about this episode of Raw.
Let's.
I described this in my edited review as less of the road to WrestleMania and more of a little stop off at Reading Services eastbound for a Costa and a Greggs. It wasn't... No, we didn't take a step backwards.
No.
We didn't WrestleMania's ruined.
No.
We didn't do anything bad on the show.
No.
It's just... It was a nothing happening episode of Raw.
It was... There were... I think there was grand total, two at a push, three segments that, okay, this is the direction we're going for WrestleMania. And the rest were we're continuing with this.
Yeah.
And that's it. That was the whole show.
Ollie said to me, so what happened on Raw then? And I said, as I predicted, Finn Balor cost Edge the title match. So they're definitely having their match at Raw. And you said, yeah, that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
So what else happened? I said, The Miz had a match with Seth Rollins.
Mm.
And he looked at me and was like, why? I was like, because of Logan Paul. And he was like, oh.
Yeah.
He said, what else happened? I said, Asuka had a match with Nikki Cross.
Mm-hmm.
He went, why? Built up for Bianca Belair, isn't it?
Yeah.
He went, oh. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
That was the extent of the conversation. And when I was writing my edited review, I was like, crikey, there's a lot of backstage segments here. It's this person cuts a promo, this person cuts a promo, this person cuts a promo. A lot of chatting on this show, but it was also just totally fine.
Mm.
Nothing bad on the show whatsoever.
No.
We'll say, though, this opening segment was awesome.
So good.
This opening segment was awesome. Because they opened with a video package showing you what happened at Elimination Chamber where Sami Zayn let down the entire country of Canada by not winning the Universal Championship.
Wah, wah.
And then I wrote my notes here. boy, I sure hope Sami Zayn is on this show. Because I've been burned before by Raw. They showed me a big video package. Like, Bray Wyatt returned at Elimination. I was like, oh man, what happens next? He's not on the show tonight.
Yeah.
Then, oh man, Sami Zayn did this big thing. He's not on the show tonight either. Mm-hmm. So I've been burned before.
Mm-hmm.
So they kicked off the show with Sami Zayn. I was like, phew. Good. Ask and you shall receive. Mm-hmm. He is here tonight.
Yep.
And I really liked this segment from two aspects.
Mm-hmm.
A, thought it was a great segment. B, it answers a lot of the questions that people had, like not even coming out of Elimination Chamber, but what mm-hmm. happened at Elimination Chamber. There were people that were like, oh, it was so stupid because Kevin Owens didn't come out and help Sami Zayn win. Oh, it was stupid because Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn didn't hug.
Mm.
There was like a lot of these, WWE sort of ruined it or dropped the ball in these aspects of it. I even said a few of these on the post show that we did on Sunday, where I was like, I really thought they would do the embrace, end the pay-per-view with a big angle.
Yeah.
But they addressed all of that in this segment here. And I thought that was a really smart thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even like a smart thing to do. It was clearly that was the next chapter in the story.
Yeah. And this was clearly like the plan they were working towards, because Sami Zayn came out and took him a while to start doing the promo because people were too busy chanting Ole at him and chanting his name, which was awesome.
It's also fine. It's a 3-hour show. Kill as much time as you need,
Sami. That's okay. Yeah. I thought it was a little bit, I don't want to say awkward the way they got to it, but it was, they essentially really wanted to hammer home in this segment, Sami's not challenging Roman Reigns, gang. We really want to make that clear that Sami's not going to be challenging Reigns at WrestleMania.
Yep.
So Sami was saying, like, you know, I felt like I let everyone down, and there's a lot of guilt because I didn't win. It was saying finish the story. But, you know, when I'm surrounded by this crowd, the story's never over. And I'm like, oh, okay, this isn't going to be over then. That's great. And then he goes, but we are entering the final chapter. And I was like, so he just said the story's never over. Whatever. But I really need to talk to Kevin Owens. And I was like, okay, this really feels like he's not going to be challenging Reigns at WrestleMania. They really wanted to make that quite clear that he's not.
The Cody segment later on
was
very much a case of, by the way, you guys. We're not inserting Sami Zayn into a triple threat or anything. It's very much, it's Cody Roman.
Yeah. And they literally, like, when they were doing the preview for the Cody segment, it's like, Cody Rhodes is road to the WrestleMania main event. Cody's in the main event, everybody.
Brackets, like, without Sami Zayn.
Without Sami in it. So Sami came out and he said he felt guilty, brought out Kevin Owens, and said that, like, he apologized to Kevin Owens and said thank you for helping him on Saturday, but then said, you know, I know it's been a lot of stuff between us. You've done stuff, I've done stuff. There's going to be some stuff that there's no coming back from. And I understand that. I get that. I just wanted to say I'm sorry. And, you know, you've been trying to take down the bloodline by yourself for a long time, and you couldn't do it by yourself. And now I'm trying to take down the bloodline, and I couldn't do it by myself. But together, we could take down the bloodline. And KO's just like, no, I'm good. Which I think makes perfect sense, because Sami betrayed him quite a lot, actually, and seemed to be happy doing it, you know?
Owen's justification for not siding with Sami here, it's the beauty of Kevin Owens as a character, really, isn't it? Because he's the only character that remembers things.
Yes. Though he doesn't remember all the times that he's betrayed people. Which is specifically as part of Kevin Owens' DNA, is that he turns on people. And yet Sami turns on him, he's like, ah! No, never again.
But it's worse.
Yeah.
It's only really the worst.
Yeah.
When people turn on him.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, I thought Kevin did a really great job in this, where he was like, look, I didn't do it for you.
Yeah.
Like, your family was at ringside. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt bad for them, so I came down to make sure that you didn't get too hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And that
like
was,
I did at the Rumble.
Like I did at the Rumble. Yeah. Like, you know, I just want to make sure that, like, I didn't do this just because... And he even said, like, I don't need an apology
mm-hmm.
from you.
Yep.
Like, I didn't do this for Sami. I just did this for your family.
Yep.
Like, and I've been fighting the bloodline on my own, and it's going to stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was... He's completely right.
He is.
In Kevin Owens' mind, not only is Kevin Owens in his own mind right, but mm-hmm. also in a way, like, you can look at it from a character perspective and be like, yeah, no, he is right.
Yeah, like, why would he just go right back to, you know, just trusting Sami again? Like, it take time to mend those bridges, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, like, I was on board with the segment, and I was like, okay, yeah, no, this makes sense. Like, I get where we're probably going. Sami and KO versus the Usos, probably.
I think that's for sure.
Yeah. And I think the killer line for me was the final line of this segment, where Kevin Owens says, And look, if you want help taking down the bloodline, just go ask your buddy Jay.
Oh.
And then walks off.
And it was like this real heart-wrenching moment for Sammy. Where, because in Sammy's mind as well, Jay is his buddy. He acknowledges
absolutely.
Jay. It's not like it's this Darcy line of like this real like ha, like you, yeah. like you are, you're friends with a baddie. Mm. Sammy's like, he is my friend, but yeah. you're also my friend.
Yeah. And Jay also has been a dick to Kevin Owens as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and like, Kay was like, how can you be friends with that guy when he's done all the things that he's done to me, you know?
And I think people can relate to this. I'm sure there are people who have had situations like this where you're friends with someone who was also friends with someone else and you just think it's a total knob.
Yeah.
And that person is a knob to you and everything like this. It's just really, really wonderful. I thought both of them were great in this segment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the beauty of the Owens-Zane relationship. These forever friends who've been rivals longer than they've been friends.
Yeah.
They come together, they split apart, they come together, they split apart.
Mm-hmm.
But even when they're apart, they're always being drawn back together. And when they do eventually have that moment where they do embrace again, it's going to be a very, very cathartic moment for us, the fans. Granted, like, I think doing that in Montreal would have been magic because it's, you know, they're both from the area. It would mm-hmm. have been this magic moment. But similarly, telling this story where Kevin Owens is saying, no,
mm-hmm.
because you stabbed me in the back, means that we can now build even further to that moment. And as you know, Sean was pointing this out a lot on the Fightful Post show, we've got 5-6 weeks
mm-hmm.
to build to Mania. We've got time to tell this story.
Absolutely. And I think as well, like, it's all well and good that you have the luck, I guess, that Elimination Chamber was in Montreal. Like, that is a either planned or lucky turn of events, one way or the other. But you shouldn't shoehorn in beats of the story because it would be potentially better in a hometown.
Exactly.
You should take time to tell these stories, especially when it makes sense to take time to tell the stories. Don't just do it because it would be good at this time. Like, it would be great. If it wasn't in Montreal, none of us would be questioning this at all. And we'd be like, this makes total sense. This is amazing. But it's just because they had Montreal there, people wanted something different.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think this, as a story, if you take the Montreal part of it out of it for a second, this makes perfect sense. A perfectly paced story.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this. And it is, for me, the only segment on this show that really furthered something towards Mania.
Because
I liked the Cody Rhodes segment.
Mm.
But it was more of like a sidestep
than
it was like a step forward in the story between Roman and Cody.
For me, it was just kind of more like a redirection. So it's like we had like Cody and Sammy and Paul and Roman and like the Usos all like kind of floating around. It's like, just as a reminder, it's Cody versus Reigns.
Yeah.
This is just a reminder that we're doing that. So we're all on the same page.
Yeah. Well, I'm very curious to know what people thought of this segment because I know there were some people who were quite down on the ending of Elimination Chamber, not just the fact that Sammy didn't win, but also there was no big angle there. So I'm very curious to know what people think. Like, for me with the Chamber, I never thought that Sammy was going to win, but I did think there was going to be a big moment on the show. So I got neither of the things And my overall takeaway was like, is this story actually, did this match move this story forward? And I could say that maybe it didn't, but this segment here very much did.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as you mentioned earlier, it's now branching us off down this path, which is Sammy's not in the main event of WrestleMania for the title, but he is going to be going for those tag titles, which is what we've all, I think collectively we've all known. we've all accepted, but there was part of us that were like, but what if though?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is as well, honestly, I still don't know where I fall on the Sami Zayn Roman Reigns Elimination Chamber match. Like, at the time, I was like, it's a really great finish. I was disappointed that Sami didn't win because Sami's my boy.
Yep.
And just like the fan part of me was just like, I just want Sami to win because I think it'll be cool.
Yeah.
And I didn't know where we went from there. I don't know if it would make sense or it would actually be good for the story. I just wanted Sami to win because I think it would have been cool. And obviously, he didn't win. And I'm like, it makes sense. It's Reigns versus Cody. And, like, I still don't know where I land on this. Like, would it have been a good idea to have Sammy win? Should they have just listened to that fan support and just gone, actually, I know we have plans for Mania, but we should change it for this, you know?
Danielson it, effectively.
Danielson it. But I don't know. I don't know what would have been spot and what not. I think I'm going to have to look back in hindsight because I honestly don't know right now.
I
I wanted to ask you, actually, because this is something else I've seen a few people discuss on the internet, and Brian Alvarez had this argument on Wrestling Observer, which is you could have just given Sammy, like, Sammy wins the belt but drops it back to Roman, say, you know, the Friday after or like a couple of weeks later. Mm-hmm. So you can still do Roman Cody, but you don't miss out on this possibly once in a lifetime opportunity to put the belt on Zayn here. Mm-hmm. From my personal perspective, I don't buy that at all.
I don't either.
I think the more important thing here is that Roman's champion for over 900 days.
Exactly.
I think the second you stop that and then Roman's just like, he's now had it for 15 days.
Yeah.
Is quite the step down. And I think it hurts the Cody story.
Absolutely.
It hurts the Cody story more and it hurts the Roman character way more than, oh, that what a lovely moment that was in Montreal.
The thing is, to me, that's a very WWE mindset. What a moment.
Yeah,
right? What a doesn't moment, matter about the story. What a moment. And to me, that would have taken away from, like the moment that Roman gets dethroned should be Roman gets dethroned. That is it. You know, like maybe he could have a rematch, but he should lose the rematch. You know, he shouldn't have a rematch. But like, that should be the moment where the bloodline comes crumbling down, like everything ends for Roman Reigns after that title belt goes. He loses everything. That should be the moment when Roman Reigns gets dethroned. Not, we're going to put it on Sammy because Montreal will pop really loud and then we'll put it back on Roman and everything will be the same. Because it won't. Because one, it will retroactively tarnish that moment and it will harm the Roman Reigns character. I don't think it will be a good move at all.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The I had another point I was going to make, then it's completely slipped by me. Maybe I'll come back to it in a second. But I'll tell you what, let's get into your Ultra chats on this, your Usi chats on this. Please join the conversation, wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them above the $5 level. And you have got quite a bit to say about this.
Crikey.
People have got some thoughts on the Sammy thing. Remember like a couple of weeks ago when we had the trial of Sami Zayn?
Oh, yeah.
And we spent the first hour just doing that. That happened on the Elimination Chamber review.
Mm.
First half hour was me and Ollie just talking about the match and, you know, what happened and everything. And then the second half hour was us just answering Usi chats on it. And then the rest of the half hour was, and here's all the other stuff on the
show. Yeah.
But Ben Vlerick kicks us off here, said, you'd think that Zayn would learn from his experience with the Bloodline. Why are you looking to team up with Owens? Why would you feel sorry for him in the first place? The man turned on you his first day in WWE after you finally won the NXT Championship.
Yeah, but they have a complicated relationship.
That's it, isn't it? Yeah, like it's... You're right, Ben. On paper, it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but it's Sammy and Kevin.
Yeah.
And particularly if you link that back even further, which they themselves do, though can't really do it in mm-hmm. so many words anymore.
Yeah.
The relationship that Owens had with Sami Zayn fan El Generico.
Yeah.
Because they're not the same person.
They're not the same person.
They can link it all together. Mm. And like they drive a lot of what they do on screen from the stuff that those two did in Ring of Honor.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, I think you're right on paper, but it does work in the big things, the big stories. But Ben continues here. He said he did the same with Jericho. Mm-hmm. That is, there's a locker room full of people with a problem with the Bloodline. You could pick someone else. I know their history, they're long friends, but still, it's like teaming up the Miz. He will turn on you. They always do. Sammy should know better. Anyway, I love the story and their chemistry. Can't wait for them to team up and win the tag titles. It's already and will continue to be so good that I kind of sort of ignore their history, even though I shouldn't have to. I guess that's just wrestling.
I think their history is actually a big part of it. You're not supposed to ignore it.
Yeah.
You're supposed to think about that and acknowledge how that's changed their relationship, because they are still friends, even despite all of this stuff. You could call it a toxic relationship if you want to, because it might be.
It might just be that.
But like they have some real issues between each other, but they also like each other and they can't be without each other. It's like Batman and the Joker.
Do you know what they do? Mm. They love each other.
Yeah, they do.
And love's a complicated feeling.
Sure is. Yeah.
Dan Shewell, Usos versus Sami and KO at Mania for the titles. You can book this match with a narrative of Jay and Sami fighting for the titles but respecting each other. Roman retains against Cody and he's mad at the Uso for losing the titles. Jay versus Roman at SummerSlam. The more and more I think about this now, and quite a few people have mentioned this in Usi chats at this point, I really feel like that is the ending of this. And I've said it a couple of times on the show as well. Jay versus Roman. It started with Jay Roman.
Mm-hmm.
It should probably end with Jay versus Roman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Cody's winning at Mania.
Oh my God.
I don't think he is.
I didn't hear anything about the possibility of Reigns retaining against Cody until like a couple days ago. And then people have been like, yeah, but what if Reigns just wins at Mania? I was like, I hadn't even considered that possibility.
I said it on the Elimination Chamber review with Ollie. I don't think Cody's going to win. Like, I can see Roman retaining.
God.
And the more I think about it, the more I'm like, yeah, I think Roman's going to retain.
Can you... See, the thing is, it's totally possible that Reigns could win, right? It's totally possible that Cody could win. I don't know if you need... Because people always said that, like, you know, if we do Roman versus Rock... It's not about the titles. You don't need the titles for that match, whether they're on the line or not, or if Roman's still the champ, whatever. It's about more than that. I think a Jay versus Roman match doesn't need the titles on the line.
It's about being head of the table.
It's about being head of the table. Or it can just be about Jay just enacting revenge against all the crap that Roman's put him through.
That's it, yeah, because like if you are doing Jay Roman, if we're going to go with this narrative of... Mm-hmm. It's Jay Roman. That's the final chapter of this. It started with them. It's going to end with them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to see Jey Uso as world heavyweight champion?
What a moment. But where'd you go from there?
That's
what
I mean. It's like, it's great. It's a wonderful end point and him lifting up the titles. But I would be like, yeah, but where do you go next with Jay?
Yeah.
As a singles guy with champions. And then you're like, he probably wouldn't have it for very long.
Yeah.
And then... But I think you're probably right in the money then. Well, may as well just have it as a different stip match then.
Yeah.
It's just a head of the table thing.
Yeah. And you can have Roman lose against Cody, maybe via Jey Uso turning on Roman Reigns. And you have like Roman is despondent and like floundering because he loses the Bloodline, loses his titles. He now doesn't have anything left. He's having a complete breakdown over everything that he's lost. Jay has a match against him to finally be like, all right, enough's enough. This is it. This is for, like, I have to beat you. I couldn't beat you before, but now I have to. And Jay wins because, you can make the argument, because Roman is having this massive breakdown, he's incredibly vulnerable, and Jay beats him, and then Roman goes away for a while.
Yeah, actually, I really like as well. Once Roman does lose and this storyline is over, Roman just leaves for a while.
Yeah.
Take him off TV. He's already on a part-time contract anyway, yeah. So you don't need him on TV all the time. You don't need him on pay-per-views and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Roman just takes a massive break.
And honestly, when he comes back, I'd start turning him babyface.
Yep, me too. Meng here says, fantasy booking, Cody loses, Roman the Usos and Solo celebrate in the ring. Lights out. Wrestling has more than one royal family. Outcome, the Gorillas of Destiny, Tangaloa, Hikaleo, and never overweight champion Tama Tonga and King Tonga himself. I mean, Haku. Yep, I don't see that happening.
Nor do I.
Valor Mabadipudi has been a member for 21 months in a row. Said KO's character is that he actually has a long-term memory. But just hearing Sammy's shaky voice through his apology and request, fantastic work.
That goes without saying. We didn't even mention that, but it goes without saying that the promos were fantastically delivered.
They really were. I don't know if the Buster Groove, his name is a reference to the PS1 game Buster Groove, but I'm going to pretend it is because yeah. I will never ever run away. Anyway, hey guys, normally I don't like being the negative. Lots of stars there.
That's six of them?
Yeah. What word could that be? Bum. But Sammy's loss just bums me out. Maybe that's why I thought of it. If even the hottest act in years doesn't lead to championship run, then what does?
Cody Rhodes. That's what does.
Feels a bit as if my interest went down the drain. Love you guys. Stay juicy.
I'll try my best. But I mean, fans don't hate Cody Rhodes.
No, they do not.
Fans still really like Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is not a bad option to beat Roman.
Yep.
And that's why I think I'm not as upset about the Sammy loss, because I have a good option in Cody Rhodes. If Reigns retains at Mania, I might be a little mad, because it's like, come on, gang.
Come on,
at some point. But I think that's why I'm not as upset about Sammy losing, because I still really like Cody Rhodes, and he's good, and he's a good option to beat Roman. It's not a bad thing. It's okay.
So let me know in the chats if you remember Buster Groove on the PlayStation. It's a well good game. Reformed Dollar Bills said, I've been watching the whole Bloodline story again, and I love Sami Zayn, but him beating Roman just doesn't give Kevin or Jay the ending they deserve in all of this. They need Sami for that. So I'm absolutely all for the direction they're going. And to be honest, I'm all for Bloodline Mania. Have Cody versus Roman, Sami versus KO, Sami and KO versus the Usos. Get Solo an opponent and etc. Things like this Bloodline story happen once in a blue moon. So honestly, I'm all for WrestleMania this year, just being very Bloodline focused.
Yeah, Bloodline sold out, WrestleMania edition.
Absolutely.
Like NWO sold out. Yeah,
I think it's totally, because it's the hottest thing in the company.
Mm.
So yeah, probably build your show of shows around it.
Build your show around Bloodline and Judgment Day. I'll be happy.
Oh no, but the Judgment Day thing is going to be... Well, I'll get to the Judgment Day.
Mm.
Team Tesholes has been a member for 18 months in a row, says, adrenaline in my soul. So Sammy won't face Cody Rhodes.
Nice.
He sure won't. BM Whitehouse 76 said, I might be in the minority here, but I'm starting to feel a little burnout on the Bloodline being everywhere. That might be because it's the only thing that's being talked about from wrestling YouTubers, though. How much longer until it outstays its welcome?
Well, when it stops being good, we'll let you know. But currently, it's great.
Well, and to BM Whitehouse's point, yeah, I mean, it is the only thing that wrestling YouTubers are talking about, but it's also the only thing that wrestling fans are talking about.
Yeah.
Like, if you're watching the WWE product, this is what you're talking about, because unfortunately, the company is also not presenting anything else at an equal or even a slightly below level.
Mm-hmm.
I said this in my editor review. Bloodline stuff feels like it's up here. Everything else just feels like it's down here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, that is way better than it was this time last year when everything was down here and it was really rubbish. But there is still that disparity between the two.
Yes.
Tom Loveday has become a member. Said, it's Renew Day. Yes, it is. Kevin and Sammy are going to build slowly like the eventual Ambrose Shield fist bump post-Roman's return a few years back.
I like that comparison, but I think this might be better? Question mark?
Oh, I'd say so. Mark Oliver, I'll say what I said in the video review today. The crowd was pretty mild for the Cody Heyman segment. I won't say they were crapping on the WrestleMania storyline yet, but they've gone to the toilet, made sure it's clean, and they have enough TP. Now, I would say, Mark, that is not an indictment of that segment, because they were quiet for a lot of things on this show.
They were, and also it's awkward to get really invested in a segment where one person's talking to a screen.
Yeah.
It's primarily a screen talking to them. It's just weird.
It was and very obviously a pre-tape thing. Heyman was not there in the on the day.
Yeah.
So, and but yeah, like I think it was this not a great crowd. Mm. With the exception of the Sammy Kevin Owens stuff, this crowd was not into much going on. And our last one here from Aoife Cassidy for now says, if Jay wins the title, that seems like he's becoming the new head of the table. But IMO, his goal shouldn't be to lead the bloodline, but destroy it.
I
that
agree.
Way he, Jimmy Solo, and even Roman can all be free as their own men.
100% agree.
Right, well, before we get into the rest of the show, as I've just opened up the wrong document, how have I done that twice?
Quite impressive.
It is impressive, yeah. Before we get into the rest of the show, thank you all so much for everyone that tuned into Worst Match Ever yesterday. It was myself, Pete, and Tempest watching Goldberg versus The Undertaker from Super Showdown 2019. We had quite the time watching it, because it is not a good match.
Oh, no, it's not.
So this is a series. We are doing reaction videos to the worst matches ever, and we've got a little leaderboard. I can't show too much of the leaderboard, because I can't reveal.
Turn it away. No, people can read that.
Where things are being ranked at the moment.
Yeah.
So tune in. Every episode, we'll have a new one go up, and then we'll have a new thing added to the leaderboard. Mm. And here is what you can expect from the show.
My name is Luke Owen, and I love bad wrestling. Join me on my journey through a cavalcade of crapness, watching what many believe to be the worst wrestling matches of all time to make my friends and you fall in love with bad wrestling too. This is my quest to find the worst match ever.
It's a delightful time.
I just like to point out that me falling out of my chair was 100% legitimate. I legitimately fell out of my chair laughing.
I cannot wait for that episode.
Me too. I really want that episode to come out.
Anyways, we had a really great opening segment at the start of the show with Sami Zayn, but never mind that shirt. Here comes Baron Corbin, everyone.
I said, I was watching Raw in the office earlier, and I just said, I was explaining the Sullivan walked past my desk, and he kind of glanced over because he was watching the Sami Zayn Kevin Owens segment, and walked past, and I was explaining to him what was being said in the segment and stuff like that, because I had headphones in so we couldn't hear it. So I was explaining the segment, and we were talking about like our opinions of the segment and stuff like that. And then I just glanced out, and I was like, Baron Corbin's just beat up Sami Zayn. And Sullivan just like, went wide-eyed. He's like, no. Surely not. You're lying to me. I was like, I'm watching it right now, Sullivan. This was weird.
Yeah, and he called him a failure. He's the last person to have pinned Roman Reigns, which does remain a true fact to this day.
Still true, but still stop mentioning it.
And eventually Adam Pearce said, hey, Sam, you can go and have the match. Go and have a match if you want. Mm-hmm. And so a ref ran down and Sami ran down. And we had a match between Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin that, I'm not messing, went through a commercial break.
Oh, goodness me, didn't it?
This match went way longer than I thought. Haluva kick, 1, 2, 3.
100%.
Out the door we go.
Could even have Baron Corbin have the upper hand to start with, because he beat up Sami Zayn on the ramp kind of thing. Go like a minute with Baron Corbin on top. Sami Zayn comes back, does his comeback offense, exploder into the corner, Haluva kick, Sami Zayn wins decisively. Job done, right? Nah. This was a long match. Baron Corbin was on top for most of it.
I don't even think it was that long.
It's not that long, but it felt so long.
It did feel long. So I don't think The pacing of WWE shows doesn't help this.
Yeah.
The way that they have their ad breaks in, which I thought was a massive problem during the main event, where we had huge intros, then 2 minutes of wrestling, then 5 minutes of commercial. I'm like, what? No, it turns out a lot of the wrestling doesn't matter here.
Yeah.
But let's have a look. Sami Zayn search. I've spelt Zayn wrong, because it's also corrected to Zayny.
Sami Zayny.
Sami Zayny, there he is. Sami Zayn matches. That match went 9 minutes. That went nearly as long as Goldberg Undertaker.
Told you it was long.
9 minutes.
Yeah.
Crivens, that's long.
And Corbin was on top for most of it.
Wow. I honestly, I would have said five.
Yeah.
At the top, it's been a Wrestle League thing, about 5 minutes.
Yeah. And I'll also point out as well, I just want to keep a running tally of this. There's another person that's kicked out of the deep six. Kevin Patrick. Not many people do.
I wrote, the longer this goes, the less heat it gets.
Yeah, God. Just wanted Sammy to maintain his momentum, you know, just still look like a main eventer. Easily dispatch Baron Corbin.
Ugh, anyway, so Sammy did win.
Sammy though. Won,
Sammy
thank
won
God.
With the Huluva kick. A very cool end spot as well. He whipped him into the corner and ran with him. So with the second the Corbin turned around, bang.
It was actually kick. Corbin hit a clothesline on Sammy. Because Corbin was in control, you see. He hit a clothesline on Sammy in the corner, then ran to the other corner to get momentum to do another one. But as he ran, Sammy ran after him and then Huluva kick in the corner.
Very nice.
Which was nice. Just wanted Sammy to win a bit more dominantly, really.
Nearly 10 minutes. We've got a recap of Edge and Beth winning at Elimination Chamber, because of course they do. Edge can't lose to the Judgment Day.
I'd just like to point out that they did lose at Extreme Rules.
No.
The I Quit match.
No. Edge beat himself in that match. Judgment Day weren't good enough to beat Edge. Edge only quit because Beth Phoenix was going to be attacked.
Yeah.
Had they just wrestled, Edge would have won. Because Edge was already, Edge was set up to win on a few occasions, but the Judgment Day interfered.
Yeah.
Edge beat himself in this. I am not counting that as a Judgment Day win.
I am. It's like the Roman Reigns Jey Uso I Quit match.
Are you counting that Seth Rollins is the last person to have beaten Roman Reigns?
That's different. That's a DQ win.
Well, he beat him at the Royal Rumble. So why are we pretending then that Roman's been undefeated for so long?
Well, it was the last person to pin Roman Reigns is Baron Corbin. Well,
this is where we get into little technicalities here. Edge beat himself off.
And also, hello. And also, Xavier Woods beat Roman Reigns.
That's very true.
It's technically a no contest.
Absolutely
but it
right.
wasn't, was it?
I'm standing by my claim. Byron Saxton interviewed Rhea Ripley and Dom Dom. They don't want to talk about Edge and Beth. They're going to move past them because Rhea's the best bloody woman in WWE. And she's going to stand on Flair's crumbled queendom. They're going to be on SmackDown this week.
Yeah. Honestly, when you say it like that, sounds like a terrible promo. But she delivered it really well.
Good promo, mate.
She made it all right.
Good
and
promo.
And she's going to go to SmackDown. And Dom said, oh, my dad's got a match over there. I'll join you. Nice.
Crucially. My deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
So are we going to go for a Ray Dom match at Mania?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think mask on the line.
That would be real cool.
Yeah.
I'd like it a lot. If Dominic unmasks Ray, that's fun.
Mask versus hair match.
Mask versus hair, that's fun as well. Yeah.
We've got a recap of Austin Theory retaining and Edge challenging him for the US title from the post show. And then Charlie interviewed Austin Theory, who just was here to remind us that he's facing John Cena at WrestleMania.
And he said, John Cena's coming back to Raw in 2 weeks. I was like, is he?
Yeah, it was announced on the old Twitter machine prior to the show.
Cool. Why didn't they announce that on the show?
I did think that they didn't do
this
that.
This is the only reference they made to it. They said, well, John Cena's coming back in 2 weeks. And it was like, since when?
Yeah, old Johnny Boy is coming back in a couple of weeks and he promises to beat Edge in his home country tonight.
Yeah.
We had a match between Dolph Ziggler and Mustafa Ali. This was basically commentary talking about how Ali has achieved very little in WWE. It was like, hey, you take the good word of retribution. You take that out of your filthy mouths. The hacker.
He was also the SmackDown hacker.
He sure was.
Yeah. He beat WWE champion Daniel Bryan.
He sure did.
Yeah.
That is no word of a lie. Mm. But he had an amazing reversal at the end of this match because Dolph went to hit the Famouser and Ali effectively did a handstand out of it to protect himself. And then he crucifixed Dolph for the win. And I'm very surprised that he won.
So for this bit, Ali's turning heel, right? Like that's the direction we're going.
Yeah.
Because he was acting like a massive dick, like all through this. Like Dolph Ziggler was trying to motivate him and be like, here's what you need to do. And Mustafari was just like ignoring all of his advice and just being like, oh, are you going to tell me to take my vitamins, say my prayers? Or should I smile more? Whatever. Like completely like mocking him basically. And I don't think this came across on TV, but Corey Graves tried to clarify on commentary after Ali won and he was acting really shocked to be like, oh my God, I won. Corey Graves was like, well, obviously he's being very sarcastic here. And I was like, is he? I didn't come across.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that either.
Yeah. So I think what he was supposed... If that was what they were trying to do, he should have played it up more.
Yeah.
He should have been, like, overly celebrating, jumping around the ring, like, come on, guys, I won! I'm great! Like, properly, really over the top.
Can you believe I beat Dolph Ziggler?
Yeah, like, really played it up. Because as it came off, it looked like he was just like, I'm shocked I won. I was like, Why?
Kathy interviewed Miz and Maurice. Maurice gave Miz a present. It's a little gold envelope. And he's going to reveal...
It's no egg, but it is an envelope.
He's going to reveal what's in that envelope on Miz TV next week.
They really played this up to be something special. Can't wait to be disappointed.
Come on. This was not going to be something special. But...
I'm just saying, like Miz was saying, this is like going to make my whole career. This is so special. Oh my God, you're the greatest, blah, 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 whatever. So it was going to be like, oh, we're going to Disney World or whatever. But shut up.
No, this is what it is, Pete. It's going to be a mixed tag match at WrestleMania. Miz and Maurice versus a celebrity Hollywood couple. Like,
or do you reckon it's going to be, I've got your Miz TV segment at WrestleMania with a celebrity?
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah. I think it is something celebrity-based. They'll have like a Hollywood
that
segment.
That sounds about right, yeah.
They'll get some, like, I don't know, B-list name and present it like a real big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that being the case. Cody then walked backstage and came out for his promo. He is still very over everyone.
Mm-hmm.
The risk was worth the reward. Cody is still over. And what we got here was a Heyman promo on screen, because Heyman was not there in the building, it would seem. So he did a pre-tape promo, which Cody played up as a real thing. And then once the promo finished, the video just stopped, and Cody then cut a promo to Roman down the barrel of the lens. It was quite an awkward segment.
Awkwardly staged, yeah.
But Heyman's so great.
He is.
And his content in this promo was so, so good.
Mm.
That even with all of that, I still ended up being like, good segment, that.
Yeah, it was a good segment.
Good segment.
I'd just like to point out as well, as people that use microphones in that quite often, the clip on microphone on the neck brace looked insane. I couldn't get over it. I couldn't take my eyes off it. It's like, that is so close to his mouth. How's that not peaking?
As someone who once had to do the Rest of Talk News for about a week with a neck brace on.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, really hard.
Yeah.
This Heyman's promo here was actually really, really masterful in a way, because it was very emotionally charged. It was, like, you could win the title at WrestleMania. I mean, you're not going to, because he's Roman Reigns and he's the best, but even if you did, do you want to? Because, like, let's think of it this way. You're going to be on the road X amount of days of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're not on the road, you're going to be doing press events. You're going to be doing Skype interviews. You're going to be doing this. You're going to be doing that. You're going to have no time. He's literally like counting up the number of days that he'll be working as champion. I don't think Roman's doing any of this, though, by the way.
Well, Heyman said that. He was like, the reason Roman's not doing this, because he's got special counsel Paul Heyman, but you won't have Paul Heyman,
exactly,
which means you're going to have all this stuff to do.
So good.
Mm.
And he made the point of, if you do that, you're not going to be at home with your wife and kid.
Mm.
And isn't that what happened with Dusty? Because I don't know if you know this, but Dusty Rhodes is his dad. it's that... Dusty was an absentee father for you, because he spent most of his life on the road.
Yep. And even when he was at home, he wasn't at home.
Yeah. And it was a very, like, really good emotionally charged promo.
Mm-hmm.
Just slightly off because of the fact that Heyman wasn't in the ring with him. And also, I feel like it was almost like a less good version of the one we had 2 weeks ago.
Mm. I agree. I also thought it's a bit weird where he was like, look, I'm not going to say anything as horrible as, like, you know, Roman would keep your wife company because Roman's a happily married man. But I'm not. I was like, okay. I don't know. I didn't feel like this promo needed that.
But it's a Paul Heyman.
It's a Paul Heyman promo, but whatever.
And then Cody cut a promo down the camera, down the hard cam, to say that he's going to finish his story and beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
That was what he said. I'm going to beat you at WrestleMania. Mic drop.
Yeah, I feel we needed some adrenaline in my soul for
we did.
This. This feud, because off the back of the hotness of Sami Zayn at Elimination Chamber, this needed like a big, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we need to be driving towards Mania. And it's, we will get there.
Yeah.
It's not like we're not, and again, like, it's not like, oh, I'm going to drop the ball, I want to ruin
no,
feud
not at all.
Or anything. But it was like, I think we needed something big on this show,
yeah,
and we didn't. I wonder if the big thing will happen on SmackDown. Because that does seem to be the standard.
We'll definitely get some Bloodline stuff on SmackDown regardless. I think that they seem to be hyping on this show. There was a few promo segments for SmackDown, and it looked like we're going to be getting some Jey Uso resolution, at least like the next chapter in that story of Jey Uso and the Bloodline, etc.
We've got a recap of Asuka winning at Elimination Chamber, and then she had a match with Nikki Cross. where Bianca Belair came out immediately talking about her being Miss WrestleMania, you know, like main eventing and you know, putting on matches of the years and all this sort of stuff, because she is very much becoming Miss WrestleMania. She's always like the standout performers there.
Yeah.
But she is a horrible actor at ringside. There was someone who said in the worst match ever comments yesterday, it was like, guys, I'm really enjoying the show, but you guys are overacting too much. Like, there's no one really watches wrestling this way. But legit, those are our reactions when we're watching this show.
Yeah.
I almost want to point them to this, be like, no, this is what bad acting looks like. This is what a bad reaction to a match looks like. She was horrible at ringside.
Yeah. Yeah. Fine. This was also a match that I thought went way longer than I thought it would. I thought Asuka was just going to kill her, you know?
It also had zero heat.
Yeah, it really didn't.
This is, again, one of those things, but it's not unique to this match.
No.
Because I think the Ottawa crowd were pretty much quiet, unless you were Canadian, because they were hot for Sammy and they were hot for Edge.
Yeah, sounds about right.
But Asuka won, and then Belair got in the ring afterwards to hold up her title and point to the sign. It's all important that we point to the sign, everyone. I really like what Asuka did here. She just... Yeah, it's great. She popped a mist capsule. It was a way to show. I could have spat this in your face, but I didn't. But just so you know, I can.
Is that what you read from it?
Yeah, totally. What else was she doing?
Spitting blue goo? She's spooky.
But she's not spooky. She's not a spooky character. Pete, she's not a spooky character.
All right.
She's mad.
Yeah.
But she's not a spooky character. She literally just popped a mist capsule in her mouth to be like, I could spit this in your face. Just so you know, at WrestleMania, I'm totally going to spit this in your face.
If that's what they were trying to do, I think they should have done it better.
I liked this.
I think she should have acted like she was going to spit. Bianca tried to cover her face, whatever. And then she was like, "Ah," you know, I feel like that would have been better use of what they were trying to do. If that's what they were trying to do,
or maybe I'm massively wrong, and it was just
maybe
blue goo.
She's literally just like, "There's blue stuff in my mouth. You should be scared."
Blue. Kathy Kelly interviewed Carmella, who wants to have a match with Asuka.
Great.
Then Rollins cut a promo on Logan Paul, but Logan Paul's not there tonight, so he's going to take that out on The Miz.
Seth was weirdly happy.
Hey, there's Seth's always...
I know Seth is weird, and he's always dancing, and he laughs, and all that stuff, but he seemed especially deranged on this show.
Well, I think he's losing his mind. I am reaping the benefits in terms of Logan Paul cost him the US title with his own move, no less.
Sure.
But anyway, yeah, so Rollins cut that promo. Then we got a recap of Brock and Bobby. And then we got MVP cutting a promo where he sets up Brock Lesnar's WrestleMania match. Amos.
I don't buy it.
Oh, I mean, I don't think anyone buys this.
No.
I think you'd have to be pretty thick to think this is what Brock Lesnar's match is.
Can you believe that Corey Graves on commentary said, "Oh my god, Omos versus Brock Lesnar, this could be one of the biggest matches in WrestleMania history if it happens."
I think that's a lie. I think it has to be sarcasm, right?
I don't think so.
That feels like a big knowing wink to the audience to be like, guys, this sucks though. I mean, we all know it sucks, but hey. The biggest WrestleMania match ever, am I right? Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's they're going to have a... will Brock Lesnar accept Amos's... I mean, it's not going to be Brock Amos, is it?
No.
Brock Moss.
Brock's going to show up next week, going to kill Omos.
Give him an F5.
No.
Give him an F5 and be like, no.
No, thanks.
Because we're building to Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley versus Bray Wyatt in a triple threat match.
For some reason.
Well, we couldn't do Wyatt versus LA Knight again, I guess. Then we got The Miz versus Seth Rollins. Pretty good action in this, because of course it is. It's Seth Rollins. He's very good. Miz hit Danielson's knee plus, which I thought was a nice little touch. And then Rollins hit the stomp. Crowd asked for another one, so Rollins did it again. He went to do a third one, but the referee tried to stop him. So he hit the third one, and then the referee called for the bell. And I was like, oh no.
Miz happened again.
Miz wins via DQ. And then it was like, winner via ref stoppage. I was like, phew.
Yeah.
I remember, Triple H is booking this show. That's a finish that makes sense.
Yeah. Can't be having Hell in a Cell 2019 again, gang. You can't have Seth arguing with a referee about what he's about to do, then do that thing, and then the match stops. Major flashbacks.
Made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because I totally convinced myself. Yeah. I was like, oh no, they're not doing it.
Crowd responded like that as well. When the bell rang, they were like, And then it was like, you went by ref stoppage. Seth Rollins went, but you could feel them going, whew, yeah, that was close.
Cool.
Okay.
Adam Pearce made Carmella versus Asuka official for next week. Mm-hmm. And then Chelsea Green called him on the phone. She's not allowed in Canada. So Adam Pearce pretended that he was in bad reception and hung up on her.
Well, she also, she said on the phone that she got sent to Ottawa, Illinois, rather than Ottawa, Canada, which is quite funny,
yeah,
actually.
Because she's not allowed in Canada. Yeah, yeah, fine. I've got a theory as to where this is heading. Mm-hmm. All will be revealed on the next episode of WrestleTalk's Three Count.
Ooh, interesting.
Chad and Otis were hanging out backstage, just flexing in the mirror, being like, hey, I think I could do this modeling thing. And then Bronson Reed walked up and said, this is not how you prepare for a match.
This ain't how you prepare for a match, mate.
And then they had a tease to share a showdown between him and Otis.
Cool.
Cool.
Big meaty man.
Ding dong hello with Damage Control. It's family day in Canada, apparently. So Bailey was spending time with her family. And then she unfortunately handed the microphone to Dakota Kai to cut a promo.
Yeah.
I love King Kota.
Yeah.
I do. I've got all the time in the world for King Kota. I think King Kota is awesome. I love me some Dakota Kai. This was not good.
This wasn't great.
And I don't like saying that.
Yeah. But it wasn't though. Good. It wasn't though, was it? Yeah.
It was quite. I was almost begging for Io Sky to take the microphone.
Yeah.
Or just anyone else. When Becky came out, I was like, oh, phew, at least you're here.
Yeah.
Not great. But anyway, they've been they've been women's tag champions for over 100 days.
Cool.
Cool. I forgot they were the champions.
Yeah.
And out comes Becky Lynch. Becky points out they barely defended those belts.
She's right, you know.
She's absolutely right. When was the last time?
Oh, dear.
Those belts. Here we go. Right. Dakota. I should have let it yes, guys. Quicker to Kai. Dakota Kai. Nope. I didn't type Dakota Kia there. It's because I did type Dakota Kia. It's because of the sportage on my mind when I'm trying to buy myself a new car. Dakota Kai. Matches. Okay, right. Well, that's obviously the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
These are house shows. Raw.
These ones will tell you what's...
Yeah. That's not defending the belt, though.
Nope.
That's not the belts. Mm-hmm. Women's tag team titles. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's when they won them.
What, so they haven't defended them at all?
Yeah, so they won them at Crown Jewel and then haven't defended them since on TV. Oh, no, they did. They defeated Liv Morgan and Tegan Knox in December.
Radical. Any more since then?
No, because that wasn't for the belts. And the other one's been on house shows.
Sick. What a reign.
In fairness, I was about to say Dakota Kai has been injured, but that happened at the end of January. So anyway, yeah. Dakota Kai. Was it she got injured in the Rumble? It was the Rumble. She was in the Rumble.
Yeah.
So it was the Rumble she got injured.
Yeah.
Either way, Becky Lynch came out and said they're not defending the belts for a while. And then Bailey. Oh, God.
Yeah. Like,
Bailey said, you can't challenge for these belts. You've got no friends.
Well,
and I suddenly thought, have I loaded up the wrong episode of Raw?
Yeah.
Because this is the segment we did not 4 weeks ago before the cage match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd also say as well, even before that, Bailey said that you're not in line for a tag title match. Why would you get a shot? I was like, who else is going to challenge? There's no one else in the division.
Ronda and Shayna?
No.
I was like, yeah, of course we know it's Lita. It's like, it's, you may as well just have the pair of them come out at the same time.
Yeah.
So Lita came out. And look, I love Lita. I really do. And I like Becky Lynch as well.
Yeah.
But it's almost like the second they got together, they became twats.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, now everyone in this segment's a twat.
Yeah.
Oh.
I just they list like their accolades together, and Bailey's like,
talked over each other.
Yeah, they talked over each other a little bit, and then Bailey was saying, "Why would you get a shot?" And Becky said, "Because we're awesome. Here's all the things we've done." And then she was like, "Yeah, we're going to challenge you." And then Bailey was like, "No, why would I do that?" And then they're like, "Are you scared?" And then she's like, "Okay."
That's the only thing I would say I liked about this segment.
Yeah.
It was that Becky and Lita goaded Bailey into accepting the match, which is how they've gotten Bailey to accept all their matches.
Yeah.
So it's two things. One, it's good because it's consistent. But two, it's bad because it's the same thing we've done in this entire feud.
Yeah. Yeah.
But either way, we are getting a match next week. Mm-hmm. It is Becky Lynch and Lita versus Damage Control for the Women's Tag Team Championships.
Yeah.
Trish Stratus was there tonight.
She sure was.
In Canada.
Yep.
To come out for this segment, because I believe they're going to be doing a six-woman tag at WrestleMania.
Yep.
Becky and the Legends versus Damage Control. Mm-hmm. But plans were changed.
Yep.
And Trish went home.
Yep. Why wouldn't you bring out the Canadian hero in Canada? I don't know. Well, maybe they had a good reason to change this around.
I guess because they're going to do the tag title match next week instead.
Yeah. But like, don't do that.
Yeah, I don't know. Also, it feels massively harsh on Kai because she's on a crutch. And they're like, defend your tag belt, you prick. I'm hurt.
Really, she should relinquish the belts if she's hurt, but whatever.
Byron Saxton interviewed Candice Lurria, and she's Johnny.
Okay. We want to talk about Candice Lurria. Noticed in your script this morning, you didn't put Candice Lurria.
Oh, Candice Lurray.
No, you didn't. You put Canide Lurray. Luke, it bugs me so much.
I need to think of another way next
week. C-A-N-I-D-E.
I'm writing it on a train. What more do you want? Our trains have got like no thing. Like with my knees are touching the seat in front of me. I've not a lot of arm room. I misspell words when I'm writing on the train. And Google Docs will then correct it for me when I get back on Wi-Fi.
Canide
Lorraine. I'm on a train, Pete. Give me a break.
All right.
Anyway. Byron Saxton interviewed Kaideen.
Kaideen?
Interviewed Candice Lurria, who said that Johnny Gargano is a little bit banged up, but he's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Johnny Gargano had Bluey-inspired gear at Elimination Chamber, and no one noticed until his gear maker said, guys, we did a Bluey reference.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. now that I look... Yeah, now if I squint really hard, and I sort of look at it from a different angle,
yeah,
I can see that it's Bluey-inspired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's rubbish.
Yep.
Do better than that, Johnny Gargano. Have some standard. You're representing Bluey here. Bluey! You try harder, good young man. I will get on the phone with you, Johnny Gargano, and I will have words with you, and then we will talk about our favorite episodes.
Yeah.
And we're all going to agree it's camping. Camping is the best episode, followed by Baby Race, probably.
Yep.
Anyway, Nikki Cross walked up and Candice Lurria walked after her and said, oi, stop stalking me. Mm. I've got a match next week and I don't want you distracting me during that match. And Nikki Cross said, all of my friends are gone.
Mm.
And she walked away.
And she's alone.
Because sanity returning.
Sanity return confirmed.
Sanity return confirmed, everyone. Finally, I'll be proven right.
Been predicting it since the end of last year.
It's like October. And like, yeah, Saturday will be back in a couple of weeks' time. Yeah, but sanity though, isn't it? Yeah, but probably
be back soon.
Yeah, but probably sanity at the Rumble though, eh? Chad Gable took on Bronson Reed. Otis got distracted by Maxine Dupree. And then Corey said, Otis always gets distracted by snacks. Ew.
Ew. This, say that, Corey.
It was such a distracting moment that the crowd missed Chad Gable hitting the chaos theory on Bronson Reed.
Did they? I didn't notice him miss it. It popped a little bit.
Yeah, well, maybe it's just it was the Ottawa crowd. But I was like, he hit the chaos theory on Bronson Reed.
It was cool.
Make some noise.
Yeah.
Like X-Pac comes out, make some noise.
Yeah.
But anyway, Chad got distracted and he lost.
I'm still dumbfounded. Honestly, I'm genuinely dumbfounded still. That Bronson Reed gets no reaction. Because they did such a good job with him at Elimination Chamber to make him seem like a big deal. He has really cool moves. And they pop every time he does a tsunami. The crowd are like, oh my god, that's so cool. It's like, yes! So react when he comes out!
And everyone said, oh man, Bronson Reed got so much that Elimination Chamber. I was like, let's wait till Raw.
Yeah, I know.
Let's just wait till Raw and see what reaction he gets then.
Did such a good job in the Elimination Chamber to make everyone look great.
They sure did.
It was such a good Chamber match. And I was like, okay, please let this be the start of something for someone. Please. And like, I don't know, man. Just react more. Like, Bronson Reed's awesome. He's Bronson Reed, for God's sake.
He beat Okada clean.
He did beat Okada.
So shout out to Black Horn and Lynx, who was just typing out the lyrics to the Bluey theme in the chat, which is just, Dad, Mum. Was the other way around. But anyway, Theory was warming up backstage, and then Elias was in the ring with Rick Boogs taking notes backstage. And then he said, I'm gonna have a match at WrestleMania. Who wants to come out and accept my challenge? And we got it confirmed. It's going to be Bobby Lashley versus Elias at WrestleMania. Because Bobby Lashley came down here. And... right. So Bobby killed him and then said, I'll put down anyone who disrespects me. I don't care if you're Brock Bray or whoever. Or but what is it about bad Kevin Patrick commentary? So Elias said... I want to have a match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Who's going to come down and accept my challenge? Bobby Lashley walks down and Kevin Patrick says, do you think he's here to accept the challenge? What are you talking about, Kev?
Corey Graves was like, what do you think, Kevin Patrick?
What do you think he's doing here, Kev? Yeah. Anyway. Byron Saxton interviewed Edge, who said that Judgment Day were going to interfere in the main event of this show because they're behind him now.
I will also say... I legitimately quite like this promo.
Yeah.
Edge being like, I haven't won a title in ages. And you and I both know I am running out of time to win a title.
Yeah, it's good.
This title it'll be really great if I could do this. And you know, like, I knew how this match was going to go. I'm not an idiot. But there was part of me, I was like, you know, it'd be kind of cool if Edge did win the US title. If Edge had a big US title match at Mania, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Former US champion?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty rad.
That'd be pretty cool. Obviously not.
Also, the theory did beat Edge because Balor interfered. Well, I say Balor interfered. Edge beat up Balor. and then Theory got the win off of the back of that.
Yeah. Technically, Balor kicked him, but not before Edge beat him up first.
Yeah, yeah. Because Balor's rubbish.
Yeah.
And Edge is the best.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this feud is terrible and must continue, apparently.
I really liked this match.
This match was awesome.
This match is actually really fun.
So good.
Can't wait for the Judgment Day interference. was my note for this match. Also, I'd like to point out, I spoke about this in the office when I was watching the show. At what point does chanting, you still got it at a wrestler, become disrespectful?
It's Chris Jericho's least favorite chant.
Like, why would you chant, you still got it at Edge? He's been back for ages. We know he's good. You're basically saying, I'm surprised that you're still good. Wow. You are old is basically what they're chanting. What are you doing?
He wrestled two nights ago.
Yeah.
Or more bad commentary here. They said, well, you know, because his theory was on top for a lot of this match. And they were like, well, Edge has really got to come back from the hellacious match that he had at Elimination Chamber. I was like, Austin Theory was in the Elimination Chamber! He had a way worse time than Edge having a tag match.
Yeah. I also really liked in the Seth Rollins Miz match, they were putting over, they're like, yeah, Seth Rollins the Elimination Chamber. I was like, oh yeah, he was. He's not selling any of that. Forgot about that.
Anyway, really, really good match though.
It was really awesome
action. And I think Edge was great. Mm. Theory so good.
Mm.
And again, like this actually woke the crowd up a little bit. Mm. Like they were really loud for the Sammy stuff at the start, and then sort of plateaued, dip, and then got really loud for this main event. And Balor ran down, Edge stopped the interference, but then Balor managed to get a little kick in the face. Theory hit A-Town down for the win, and then Balor hit three coup de grace after the match.
Yeah. Which, you know what? Finn Balor standing tall after a main event at Raw? That's cool.
Yeah, but Pete, I've seen Balor stand tall at the end of a Raw main event. Do you know what I've seen? When he's attacked Edge!
Yeah.
After every single time that Edge beats them on pay-per-view, we have an angle on the Raw after where Judgment Day attack Edge.
Yeah.
And then lay him out. And then Edge goes away for a bit. Then he comes back and sets up a match with Judgment Day that he wins. Sick of this, Pete.
Yeah.
I've really, really had enough of this now.
I would really like it if Balor wins their WrestleMania match.
It has to, right? He has to win. My only concern is that he's not.
Yeah.
Because he's already beaten Edge technically. But surely the whole point of this Edge Judgment Day thing was to put over someone new.
You'd assume so.
Because Edge has beaten all of them. And he keeps beating them.
Mm.
And Judgment Day got over when Edge wasn't there.
Mm.
And Edge just keeps dragging them back down into this feud and making them not feel over or special.
Yeah.
Surely Balor has to win at Mania.
I hope so. That'd be real cool. But I don't know. It's Edge, isn't it?
Yeah. But anyway, I thought it was a totally fine episode of Raw.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was all right, you know? Absolutely nothing terrible on the show.
Nothing terrible at all. I didn't like that Ding Dong Hello segment.
No.
Didn't think that was great.
Nope.
But it set up a potential of a fun thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't be too mad at it when it set up a fun thing. But there was some fine stuff on the show. A couple of really good stuff. That's it. That was the show.
We have got a poll up at the moment. Thank you very much to our mod mother, who has got thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, thumbs down as to what you thought of this show. But before we get into the remainder of your Oosie chats, I'm going to shout out some very, very special people. Our $25 and above Patreon pledge hammers over at patreon.com/WrestleTalk. Tomorrow is Wednesday, so you know what that means. It's the brand new Patreon podcast, released every single Wednesday over on the RSS feed. And it's myself and Ollie Davis reviewing No Way Out 2000,
ooh,
featuring the iconic Cactus Jack Triple H Hell in a Cell. Also features Taz versus the Big Boss Man.
Mm.
It features, apparently, according to Tempest, Chris Jericho's favorite match of all time.
Wow.
In his match, well, one of his favorite matches, the one he had with Kurt Angle to open the show.
Mm-hmm.
It also features Edge and Christian versus the Hardy Boys,
and
The Rock versus Big Show. What else was the other big match on that card? Do you know what the big moment is?
Mm.
It's when Farouk really struggled to get Jeff Hardy up for the Dominator, so just effed him right into the ground. So funny. Literally, just like, on your head you go. On your head you go, young man. My favorite moment, though, is spoilers. When Terry turns on the Hardys.
Editor Terry?
Yeah, she turns on the Hardys. She travels back in time and then turns on. And effectively, officially ending the Terry Hardys relationship.
Mm.
And she starts doing her She-Devil gimmick. And as she's walking to the back, JR goes, wow, what a bitch.
Pretty good.
So that's going out live tomorrow over at patreon.com/WrestleTalk. And if you are one of our $25 and above Patreon pledge champions, you get your name read out here on the WrestleTalk podcast like these fine folk. Ross Pooper Scooper Cooper.
Rue the Day, Rory O'Brien Kelly.
The Man with the Scoops, Sean.
The Movie Luke Has Never Seen, Selena.
He's, here's why, Simon Dormer.
The Pharaoh, Stephen Mazzaferro.
The Incredible Tarzo.
Keep Rolling, the Rick Patch.
Vincent Charloki Garcia.
Vito Ventura, Pet Detective.
Willie Big E Singleton.
And finally, for this Hall of Fame class of the 21st of February 2023, Tony Jabroni.
Thank you all so, so much. Head on over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk for more information. Right, let's get to the rest of your Oosie chats. Unfortunately, there are still some issues with Streamlabs. Real cool if they could sort those out. Unfortunately, it means that even though you submit, it might lose your name. So if you have your chat right out here, let a moderator know and they'll assign it to you.
Every time. I've just seen the first three words of this Oosie chat.
I know, right?
Every time. Continue.
First time Ultra Chatter.
Every time.
So,
lost your username.
I'm so sorry that Streamlabs has
lost
your
username. Please let us know who you are.
I was there last night. Crowd was super crazy for Sammy and Edge. Lost my voice chanting, let's go, Sammy. After Edge's match, he told the crowd this might be his last time in Ottawa. Perhaps retirement after this current contract.
Yeah, Balor will retire him.
Well, he's been saying as much. Like, he said in interviews last year that he wants to retire in Toronto.
Yep.
And there is a Raw show in Toronto in August.
He's
like, I'll probably be where it is. I'll probably be like where I have my last match. And I'll just retire then. His contract is up this year because he signed a three-year deal when he came back in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm sure Dax Harwood would be doing everything he can to get that FTR versus Edge and Christian match that he wants to do in AEW.
Maybe that'll be the match in Toronto. They'll have a special one-off appearance. WWE and AEW work together to get Christian Cage over on WWE program.
Oh, I thought you were just going to mean that he just goes across to AEW. And then they do a show in Toronto. And he's just like, now what I said was true from a certain point of view. This is my final. It was my final WWE match in Toronto.
There you go.
But this is my last ever match in Toronto. Another unknown username, please do let our moderators know, it said, can we all agree that Seth Rollins should actually be the next Joker? He might be the best fit since Heath.
No,
I cannot agree to that.
I really like the Hollywood parody. I think it's very funny that Seth Rollins is the Joker.
Corbin should retire Edge.
Don't even. I think the parody is very funny, the Hollywood parody of Seth Rollins as Joker. I think it fits, it's funny, works. Would never want to see Seth Rollins be the actual Joker.
No, I think that'd be too much for an entire movie.
That would be awful.
Yeah.
You know what? It would work in a very silly movie. If it was a Batman versus Robin type Batman movie, I could see Seth Rollins as the Joker in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, as a comedy thing to sell toys.
Yeah.
Could do a big deal with Mattel. That I could see.
Yeah.
Luke Thomas here says, hey Luke and Pete, I say watching Rollins win via ref stoppage due to kicking too much ass gave me uncomfortable flashbacks. Or at least he won. Can't wait for Lesnar versus Amos, a potential show stealer. Love you guys, keep up the great work.
I really hope you're being sarcastic, otherwise I just laughed at your very serious opinion. Also, the kicking too much ass is fine. If it's like a knockout, that's fine, that's a legit way to win.
Also, and like the kicking too much ass thing, that kind of a running meme is because it was a DQ thing. Got DQ'd for winning too much.
Yes. You just win for beating up your opponent too much, that's fine.
I remember the first time that WWE, and this is a Triple H, led thing, kind of changed the narrative a little bit on that. It's when Owens won the NXT title via ref stoppage.
Yeah.
And, he beats up Sammy and then the referee calls to the bell and everyone was like, oh, what? This is how we're ending it. And they were like, no, the winner via ref stoppage is Kevin Owens. He's your new NXT champion.
Yeah.
And I remember Vinny on the Brian and Vinny show, Vince Verhey, was just like, that just makes sense. That is how a ref stoppage works. Like, that just, he won.
Yeah.
The other guy couldn't stand up anymore.
Yeah.
So he won.
So he won. That's it.
Another unknown username here, please do let our moderators know, said, I was at the show last night. Ottawa is a sleepy 9-till-5 government town, so I suppose WWE didn't feel like bringing their A game in case the crowd didn't respond accordingly.
Nice.
Charles Turner has been a member for 17 months in a row, says, Lita and Trish, because Becky will get taken out before the match, will win the titles, then face Ronda and Shayna Baszler at Mania.
Huh.
So next week, you're saying it's going to be
Becky will get
Trish.
Taken out.
Yeah.
And then Trish will come out to help Lita. Lita and Trish will win. And then they'll face Ronda and Shayna at WrestleMania. You know, I don't necessarily hate that.
No.
But I don't know if I like it either.
But I think it also gives Ronda and Shayna, because I was thinking about this, like if it is Becky, Lita and Trish versus Damage Control. I'm like, what do you do with Ronda and Shayna then? Apart from probably facing like Shotzi and Tegan Knox or something.
Sounds about right. Here's a question though. If you do Lita and Trish versus Ronda and Shayna, what'd you do with Damage Control and what'd you do with Becky? That isn't Becky versus Bayley again, please.
Well, that's the thing, it'll just be that way.
No! Seen that so much.
Juan,
how long have they been feuding? Because it feels like about a year.
It's October at the very earliest. Ugh. Juan Perez has been a member for 17 months in a row. Before people, because there will be someone who's like, I thought you want long-term storytelling.
Mm.
It's not the same thing.
Not the same thing. This is a one-note story told over 4 or 5 months.
Juan Perez has been a member for 17 months in a row, said, Brandi Rose should go head-to-head with Paul Heyman.
No.
Yeah.
No. That gives me real flashbacks of Brandi Rhodes and Dan Lambert.
Oh, no, let's not.
I'm not doing it. Not doing that again.
I actually really want it.
No!
Oh, but
you little chaos gremlin. Absolutely not.
Oh, but Pete, imagine it though. Live. Ugh. In front of a WWE crowd. Brandi Rhodes cutting a promo on Paul Heyman.
No.
That sounds like magic to me.
That sounds like madness to me.
Reformed Dollar Bill says, hear me out. Cody loses to Roman night one. Amos squashes Brock night two. Amos challenges Roman and wins. Mania ends with Amos standing tall. Brackets, not going to be that hard. He is tall after all. Bonesaw Buck 823 says, what would we have thought if Sammy was written off TV after the Rumble and then come back until WrestleMania as a surprise partner for Owens? Or perhaps Sammy runs down during the main event to neutralize the bloodline, just saying there were alternatives. I think having the Elimination Chamber match is still is actually an important part of this story.
Yeah, I think so as well. It was good.
Yeah. The last few chats we've got here. Jamel Fleming says, completely unrelated, something I miss as a longtime wrestling fan, the flash when the cameras go off during finishing moves. Keep it up. Loving the new content initiative and positive Pete now that WWE is good. Jam that jam.
I've been so positive on this show. So positive. I loved everything apart from all the stuff I hated.
Yeah, the flashes, they didn't really exist anymore, did they?
No, not really.
Juan Villa has been a member for 17 months in a row. Says, rumor has it Luke's going to jump ship to Going In Raw, but he ain't coming alone. Who will Luke show up with? Stay tuned. Love you guys.
What's this, Luke?
Oh, I mean, well.
You're just going to be leaving?
I didn't say contract tampering. Hey, look, I've had some very nice conversations with Steve and or Larson.
I've had nice conversations with Steve as well.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with contracts or anything like that.
I didn't say contract tampering.
He's just a nice guy.
Yeah, well, you're the one who keeps saying contract tampering, Peter.
I mean, the meme from this weekend came back again that apparently I'm leaving WrestleTalk. That came back at Elimination Chamber live reaction stream. So what if that just gets transferred to you?
Oh, well, you know, hey, they're just the nice guys. Friendos. D-Matic
made it?
Yeah, D-Matic made it. Hey guys, just wondering when the next Quiz or Mania will take place, as we didn't get one during Rumble weekend. Well, we said the first one was going to be around WrestleMania season, so it'll be March, April time.
Yes.
I think it's end of March. I think it's
sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's what we're going to be doing.
If Mania's beginning of April, yeah, literally April 1st and 2nd, then it'll be end of March.
And oh, amazing, the Buster Groove Ultra Chat didn't say, here's another Ultra Chat, only because Luke got the reference. I will never, ever run away. I will be here to fight another day. I will make you realize. What a tune. That's capital T tunage right there.
Please don't let us get a copyright strike from your immaculate singing.
Yeah, because like the bots are going through. It's like, hang on a crack. Is that that Buster Groove?
That Buster Groove?
From that PlayStation game from 1998? I think it might be copyright strike. And lastly here from Justin Reed, who's become a Memberg, and Vinod Kumar has become a Memberg. Right, thank you all so much. We are going to end the poll here to find out what you all thought of this show. Thumbs in the middle, 62%, thumbs up 32%, thumbs down 5%.
So that sounds about right.
In the middle, but very much leaning upwards.
Yeah, which I think checks out.
Yeah, but I think that is more overwhelmingly facing upwards than I would have thought.
Really?
Considering it was such a middling show.
Well, 62% of people agreed.
Yeah, which is why I thought there'd be more people giving it a thumbs in the middle. Because like thumbs up is saying, no, I thought this was an excellent show.
Well, I think thumbs up is like, it's a good show.
Yeah.
Which is somewhere in that middle bit of between mid and excellent.
You're trying to say
excellent.
That three options is just isn't enough, Pete.
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
All right,
really, you need five.
All right, Mr. Meltzer, with your quarter star raise. I can't do five on a poll.
I know
Pete.
You can't. I'm complaining about YouTube,
you. There's only a four.
Tube?
Anyway, thank you all so much.
That was a silly joke. Oh, we've got one more. We've got one more.
NSO has been a member for 18 months in a row. So enjoyed your worst match show. Can't wait to see what's next. Tempest show is killing it too.
I agree.
We're recording new episodes of that tomorrow.
Oh,
I'm already stressing out.
I'm
about
so
it.
Nervous.
We are recording new episodes of Survival Series tomorrow. I don't know when the first episode of that goes out.
I do.
When is it?
Don't know whether I should say.
Oh.
I don't know what's.
Oh well, because it's
what's
not
public information.
It's not ours
isn't
to announce. I think you're saying like you're announcing a brand new date in the calendar or something.
No.
I'm not sure I'm in a position to announce a new date on the calendar. Lousy smart weather.
It's not my show. I'm not going to take away from Tempest's announcement.
That's fair. Tweet Tempest at TempestWT,
and maybe he'll answer.
Thank you all so much for watching. We will see you on Thursday with the AEW Dynamite review. There's a battle royal. One of those team members in that battle royal definitely can't be a Revolution because they're booked for a New Japan show. So don't think they're going to win. Anyway, we'll see you next time. I've been Luke Owen, DAD. That has been Pete. Jam that jam.
Jam that jam. Jam that jam.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.